It's going to be hard to be a servant without this book, ain't it? Amen. A lot of things the book will do will help you be a servant. It's going to show you what you ought to do, amen. It'll teach you the right mentality of a servant, amen. We dealt with this. I'm going to go over some things that we dealt with in our men's breakfast. Some of you men were there. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. We're in chapter 4. In our study, in our adult Sunday school class, and I want to try to wait till after revival to start chapter 4, so we'll do a little something different today, this Sunday, a little something different next Sunday, and then after revival, we'll pick up back in chapter 4, amen, 2 Timothy. But look in let's just read a little bit. Look in verse 8, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 8. What's the first word? And of course, we studied chapter 1 and chapter 2 and, of course, chapter 3. But he says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Amen. We should not be ashamed of our brothers and sisters in Christ, no matter what they go through in this life. Paul, of course, being a prisoner at that time. Of course, he was wrongly accused, amen, of living ungodly where he was living godly. He says, "Who have saved us," thank God that's what God has done, "and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works." God didn't look at you one day and say, "Boy, I'll make something out of that." Not in that fashion. God looked at us and said, "I'll make something of that." Amen. He didn't say it like, "Boy, they could really do something good for me." Amen. God saw how wicked we was and he saved us. Amen. It wasn't according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Thank God he had a purpose and a plan for our lives. Amen. Because the plan I had was no good. And the plan you had for your life was no good until God showed up. Amen. He puts things in the right perspective and we start seeing things the right way when the light gets cut on. Amen. Thank God he cut the light on in my soul one day. He said, "Which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Nothing caught God off guard on what he was going to do for mankind. Amen. Not even the fall of sin, the work of Satan. He said, "But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who have abolished death." When did he abolish death? He didn't abolish death before the world began. He abolished death, amen, on the cross of Calvary. And it brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The gospel is what made the difference in our lives. Amen. Prior to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, we were lost, number one. We were doomed. We were without hope and without God in this world. But the gospel is what made a difference. That is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles." Amen. God saved the apostle Paul and established him in the work of God. And once God saves us, he establishes us in a work for him. He says, verse 12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." Amen. We should not be ashamed of our Lord. And here's the phrase that we'll be looking at this morning. Amen. "For I know whom I have believed." He said, "I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." May God add the blessing to the reading of his word this morning. He said, "I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Paul said, "I know." And there's some things as God's children that we should know. And knowledge of these things makes a difference in our lives. Amen. When we know some things, it's not a maybe, it's not a hope so. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed. There's no doubt that I have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for my salvation. There is no doubt that I know that that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. I know whom I have believed. I'm not, well, I think I might believe. Well, I hope I might believe. No, I know in whom I have believed, and that belief persuades me. There's a persuasion that comes with that knowledge, amen. And the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is power, amen. I know in whom I have believed. So there's some things as God's children that we should know. Number one, we should know whom we believe.
Amen.
Amen. Who do you believe the Savior? So I don't believe Muhammad saved me. You know why? Because I know he can't save me.
Amen.
I don't believe that my works can save me because I know that my works cannot save me. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed. Do you know who you have believed?
Yes.
Amen. Number one, I know whom I have believed. Number two, look in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That's before the book of Timothy. I know the commandments given to me by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus Christ has given me commandments. Amen. So, well, I'm not under the law. Well, you might not be under the law as far as the Big Ten to keep your soul from hell. Amen. But God has given us commandments that we should obey Him. Amen. The commandments given to me by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has given us commandments from this book. Amen. We don't like commandments. We don't like black and white. We don't like straight and narrow. We don't like things that are bluntly, but that's what we need. And God has given us blunt commandments that we are to obey. Amen. So, well, I don't think I ought to have to do anything. Well, you know what? Help yourself. Amen. But God has given you commandments to obey. There are things that are just you should do and things you should not do. And you ought to know that in your life. Amen. Hey, God, I know whom I have believed, but I know the commandments that God has given unto me. Chapter 4 and verse number 2 of 1 Thessalonians. He says, for I know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hey, what kind of commandments? Verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Don't be scared of that big word, sanctification. Sanctified, set apart, amen. That you should abstain from what? Fornication. These are commandments, amen. You've got no business committing fornication. These are commandments given to you by God. So, well, I just do what I want to. Help yourself, amen, but you're going to be against God. God's given commandments that you ought to obey in your life, amen. Hey, you know who you believe? You profess, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's good. You ought to know that. But you ought to know that that same God has given you commandments that you ought to obey in this life. We just think, well, I believe and that's okay. I'll do what I want to. That ain't how it works. That ain't how it works. And you ought to know that. And that knowledge will change your life if you apply it to your life. I know the commandments given to me by the Lord Jesus Christ. A commandment is a strong term.
Amen.
To command someone. Go do this. Don't do that. That's commandments. Hey, that's why the world don't take the Ten Commandments out of the courthouse. You ain't going to take them out of the book. Well, I don't believe that I'll have to do anything if I don't want to. Well, help yourself. You don't. You know what? You don't. But you're not going to be right with God.
That's right.
And the thing is to be right with God and to walk with Him. Amen. You ought to know that God's given you commandments. You know what? The devil will come to you. Well, you're all right to do what you want to. You know better than that, don't you?
Yeah.
You ought to know that God's given you commandments. Amen. You ought to know whom you have believed. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I believe that He's left me commandments to do and not to do in this life.
Yeah.
Amen. Hey, number three, I know that the Lord is coming as a thief in the night.
Amen.
And no doubt, He's coming back.
Amen.
You know what that does? That makes me realize I know I believed in Him. I know He has given me things to do, and He's coming back to get me, so He's going to hold me accountable what He has commanded me to do and not to do.
Amen.
So I just live like I want to. Go ahead, He's coming.
Amen.
You're going to answer, amen. You ought to know that He's coming back. Where do you get these things? I get them from the book.
Amen.
This knowledge comes from God's Word. Amen. That thing that's laying in your lap this morning that you might not pick up between Sunday and Sunday. It's got things that you ought to know in it. Amen. And you know what? These things we'll look at this morning, they are common knowledge. They should be common knowledge to any child of God. I mean, I've not said anything strange to you. You know whom you have believed, right?
Amen.
You know He's given you commandments to do and not to do, to abstain from and to do other things. The will of God. Amen. That's in the context. And you ought to know that He's coming back. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Things that we know. Knowledge. Things God has taught us. How did I learn them? I learned them from the book. I learned them from the teaching of the Holy Spirit of God that has come to guide us into all what? Truth. I've learned them from Sunday school class.
Yeah.
Right? I've learned them from my mom and daddy. Yeah. Amen. That's had any kind of standards in their lives for God's Word. They have taught me these things. Common knowledge to every child of God should be. I know that He's coming back. Chapter 5 and verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the what?
Amen.
I don't know when He's coming, but I know that He is coming.
Amen.
I don't know the day. I don't know the hour. Amen. There's a possibility you might know the season, but you don't know the day or the hour.
Amen.
You might think over there in the Song of Solomon that He's coming in the springtime, and hey, glory be to God, He is a possibility He might. Hey, but you don't know the day, you don't know the hour. He's coming as a thief in the night. The Lord's coming.
Amen.
You ought to know that. And that knowledge ought to affect the way you live. If you know that He's coming, why are you living the way you're living? And the old saying is, you don't want to get caught with your pants down. Right? He's coming as a thief in the night. Amen. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Number 4. I know what prevents Satan from showing up in the flesh as the head of the UN or the USA or the USSR or the EU. Amen. What's preventing him from showing up? Us leaving. You know what? There's not going to be any great tribulation period on this earth, that 7-year tribulation period, until the church is gone.
Right.
And there's a lot of people that used to know that and now claim they don't know that. They think that we're going through half of the tribulation and we're going to be mid-tribs. Amen. We're getting out before it ever happens.
Amen.
Amen. That window opened up in heaven before any wrath was poured out in the great tribulation period in Revelation chapter 4. Hey, we're up in heaven bowing before our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You ought to know that. Amen. Hey, what's preventing Satan from showing up? 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Look in verse number 6. He says, and now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until be taken out of the way. You know what's preventing Satan from manifesting himself and showing up in the great tribulation period is you and I leaving.
Amen.
Now a lot of people take that text and say, well, that means the Holy Ghost is going to be gone. The Holy Ghost has worked through the beginning of creation when the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. To the end of time, the Spirit of God is going to be working. Now, He won't be indwelling and sealing the believer like He does in the church age, but the Spirit of God is going to work through all ages. It's not the Spirit of God that's going to be taken out. It's going to be you and I that's taken out. And that's what's holding up Satan from his work down here on this earth in the great tribulation period. His spirit doth already work. The spirit of iniquity has been working, amen, and spearheading to the great tribulation period. But I know what's holding him up. Us getting out of here. I say, even so come Lord Jesus. That's what John said when he saw all of it. And the more you look around, the more that your spirit will cry out, even so come Lord Jesus. I know, amen, what's preventing Satan from showing up, amen. I know, look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And you should know that I should follow Paul as an example in the church age. Paul said, be ye followers of me as I also am of Christ Jesus, right? 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse number 7. He says, for yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Do you know, this is what I'm saying, that what the Bible says, we ought to know that Paul is the leader of the uncircumcision. He dealt with that in the book of Galatians about Peter being the forerunner or the leader of the circumcision. That's the Jew, and the uncircumcision is the Gentile, and that Paul is that apostle to the church age, and he's given us instruction in the 13 epistles that he wrote to us about the church age. I know that he has given me instruction on how to live in this life until the Lord comes back. And we ought to mark him as an example of how to follow him. But you know what else? You ought to know good people that you ought to follow.
Amen.
People that's following the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to be able to mark them and say, that's the kind of people I ought to follow. And on the other side, you ought to be able to mark others and say, that's the kind of people I ought not to follow.
Amen.
You kids that are in the adult Sunday school class this morning, that's why Mom and Daddy says, stay away from people like that.
Yeah.
They are marking them that they're a bad example to your life. And then they'll say, this is a good example for you. And mom and daddies ought to set good examples for our children. We ought to be making a path clear for them to follow, right? You ought to know who you can follow and who not to follow. Because who you follow will affect how you live your life. That's why people are kept out of your life. That's why you can't go certain places and be around certain people. Because mom and daddy knows they're not good for you. And you ought to have standards like that in your life to keep people away from your family that is no good for your family. Amen. You ought to know. I know. Don't you know? I know Paul's the apostle through the church age. I know that he's given me instruction. That's why I'm not keeping the law to be saved. Because I know what Paul wrote about salvation. Amen. I know what's to be done orderly in my life. That's why I'm not over here trying to keep some vegetarian law out of the Old Testament, which if you like it, it helps your body to live healthy. Glory be to God, and you can live longer and serve the Lord better. But I know there's not dietary laws that I have to keep to be right with God. Because I know the instructions that's given to me in the epistles. Amen. All things are to be eaten with thanksgiving to the Lord. Amen. And these are things that you ought to know. Why? Because if you don't, it's going to affect your life. I know. Hey, I know this. Contrary to what the world teaches, I know that the law is good. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. The law is good. There ain't nothing wrong with the law. I'm about the law of God, but you know what? There's laws in this old world that'll help you out. If the laws in the world are lined up with this book. And when they started laws, that's what they done them by.
Amen.
And they set up standards, amen, in the Constitution of America and things that set up order in our world. Amen. You know what they're doing? They're doing away with laws. There ain't no laws. Do what you want to. Come as you please. Help yourself. And that's the kind of mentality we've made in churches.
Yeah.
It's filtering. You know what the problem is? Look, we know that the world lieth in wickedness.
Yeah.
And that the world is in darkness. And we know that the beam of light should come out of the house of God through the word of God preached across the pulpit. You know, to shine bright, that we ought to be able to see clear when we come out of the darkness of this world. That's why people that's so entrenched in the world, when they come in the light preaching churches, amen, with the word of God shining bright, it's a culture shock. And they think you're crazy. Because it goes against everything that they've been taught in the world to live in because they've been in the darkness so long. And that light, shine out that darkness.
Amen.
The law is good.
Yeah.
And we tore down the laws, we don't even know what's right or wrong anymore.
Amen.
The world that we live in is in darkness.
Yeah.
In several different ways. I know that the law is good. Chapter 1 and verse 8, 2 Timothy. He said, but we know that the law is what? Good if a man use it what?
Lawful.
Nothing wrong with it. Help your life on it.
Amen.
Use the law lawfully. Law will show you your shortcomings. The law will show you your need for a Savior.
Amen.
Hey, there's certain things in the law that you keep and don't do that'll help your life and keep you out of trouble.
Amen.
Keep you out of trouble. Nothing wrong with the law. It's good. You know what's wrong? Us. Amen. Look in Hebrews chapter 10. Some things we ought to know. And have knowledge of. And that knowledge ought to affect the way you live your life. Hebrews 10. I know that God, as the author of the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And not only the Old Testament, he wrote the New Testament.
Yeah, amen.
He established it in his own blood.
Amen.
People say, well, I know that book was written by man. You know better than that. You ought to know better than that. Hey, young people, listen to the preacher. Don't let people teach you that this book was written by man and God didn't breathe it.
Yeah, amen.
That's what they want to do, is get you away from the authority of this book so they can get you to live contrary to God.
Yeah.
You deny the authority of God's word and you go live like you want to then.
Amen.
That's the work of Satan.
Yeah.
The devil try to convince you that there is no God in it, and yea hath God said. God did say something. And this book is inspired, and it's godly, and it's holy.
Amen.
That's why they call it the Holy Bible.
Amen.
Amen. And it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. And if you obey it, it'll help you live a holy life. Don't be scared of holiness. Nothing wrong with living right. Help your life. Amen.
Amen.
God's the author of it. Look in Hebrews 10 and verse 30. For we know him that have said, vengeance belongeth unto me. Who said that?
Amen.
Do you know where you get that? You get that in the Old Testament. And the New Testament writers pinning it down. He said, for we know him that have said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his what? Deuteronomy 32, the Lord said that. And you know what the Hebrew writer said? We know who said that. You know what the New Testament writer is saying? That God said the Old Testament.
Amen.
That's God-breathed words. Amen. Why should I know that? Because it'll affect the way you look at it. It'll challenge you to believe it and live it. And the accountability of it. I know that. Hey, number eight, I know that a carnal Christian will lose his millennial inheritance.
Yeah, amen.
You know what the problem is? A lot of people don't care whether they have an inheritance.
Amen.
They don't care. You know, people live that way today. I don't care about tomorrow as long as I got something right now. That's the mentality we're taking on, you know. Don't worry about nothing but right now. Live for yourself and enjoy. Drink and eat and drink, but tomorrow you die. No, tomorrow you're going to stand before God.
Yeah, amen.
You ought to know that, hey, you can lose your millennial inheritance. And that ought to change the way you live.
Amen.
The thing of the second coming of the Lord, that God, the Lord himself, shall descend from heaven.
Right.
You know that's him, the one that saved you, the one I'm going to give an account to. This knowledge that he has given me commandments, he has given me a Bible, these things that you ought to know, and he's coming as a thief in the night, and that I can lose everything I've ever worked for. And that ought to affect and challenge the way we live. That's what knowledge will do. That's why it's important for you to know things. So, well, I don't have to know anything. Yeah, live that way. And that's why you're so carnal. You have to know. And that knowledge will affect your life.
Amen.
Hebrews 12 and 17. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. You know what he lost? Esau lost his inheritance.
Amen.
You know what a lot of God's people are doing? They're losing their inheritance.
Right.
Nothing left. Why? Because they disobeyed their father. Do you know in the physical realm, you know what a father and a mother will do to a disobedient child? They'll change the will. And they'll say, I'm not leaving nothing to him, because all he's going to do is snort it up.
Right?
Right? All he's going to do is drink it up. Why would I leave him things that he's going to shoot up his arm?
Right.
They'd leave it to somebody that's more responsible. Your heavenly father feels the same way.
Right.
Why would I give an inheritance to somebody that's sorry? You think God's going to just pour out his blessings on you for living ungodly? That ain't so. You say, well, as long as I get to heaven, well, what a poor mentality to have. If you know what you ought to know, you won't think that way. Amen. The knowledge of an inheritance and a knowledge of standing before a holy God that has saved your soul. This knowledge ought to affect the way you live. Amen. Look to James, James 5. Some things you ought to know. You ought to know that soul winning is the most profitable occupation on earth. I mean, if you're going to do something, what, you know, when people, you know, what can I do for God? If God would give me a beam of light to show me the will of God for my life, I would get in the middle of it and I would serve God in that perfect will of God. You know, Romans 12, 1 and 2. You know, I wouldn't be conformed to this world. I'd be transformed and I would do the perfect will of God. I mean, what is the will of God for my life? Listen. It's not a shocker. The will of God for your life is to tell people about Jesus Christ and how they can be delivered from a devil's hell and have a home in heaven. The word is soul winning. He that winneth souls is wise. Amen. Look in James chapter number 5. It's the most profitable work or occupation that you can do on earth. So I'd like to be the president. Look how profitable I can be. There's nothing any more profitable than winning souls to Jesus Christ. If you know that, you know what it do? It changed your life as far as being a witness. You'd witness more if you knew the profit that was in it. You know what the devil's done? The devil has got our minds off of the things that we ought to know that would affect the way we live and has got us in the mind of this world. Live in gain. Live the American dream, you know. Go possess and own and have. And that's the way we think. We think carnally. We've not set our affections on things above. That's what the book teaches, right? But we set all our affections, we've got all our marbles in this game of life. And nothing about tomorrow. And when we get to heaven, we're going to wish to God it'd been the other way around. And God's word gives us that knowledge to try to affect the way we live. But we throw it away. We don't listen. James chapter 5 and verse 20. Let him know. Look at verse 19. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and converteth him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. And shall hide a multitude of sins. What a blessing, amen. To show a sinner his need for Jesus Christ. You know what the Bible says? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? The whole world. Put in a basket. And lose his own soul. God compares the whole world in one basket to one soul. And he said it's more profitable. Your soul is more profitable than the whole world. And so he that winneth souls, that profitable thing is more profitable than the whole world. That's the way God looks at it. When's the last time you told anybody about Jesus Christ? When's the last time you took time out of your life to show a sinner his need for a Savior?
Amen.
Only God could save a soul, but you could be the instrument to bring them to the water. That they might drink of the water of life. It's the most profitable occupation on this life. I know, number 10, that I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Do you know that? Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. You're to know that.
Amen.
Do you know how many people don't know that common knowledge right there? I mean, all you got to do is go, he that winneth souls is wise, become a soul winner, try to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ, be a witness for him. And you know what you'll find out? Many people do not know that the blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that can save a sinner from hell. Have no knowledge. I mean, grow up in the Bible Belt in your community, in our county, and have no knowledge that the blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that can save a sinner from hell. You ought to know that. Young people, you hear the preacher? Listen to the preacher. The only thing that can save you from hell is the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Nothing else. It's not your good works. It's not your church membership. It's not your quoting memory verses or getting in the baptismal waters. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing.
Amen.
The only thing that can wash away your sins. That's it. You ought to know that. The world has no clue. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 18. Verse 18, for as much as ye know. that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. You can't put enough money in the offering plate to go to heaven. You can't support enough missions to go to heaven. You cannot give the charities all your life and go to heaven. It's not got anything to do with your silver and gold. Look, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers. Tradition is taught that, hey, your money can do it. Your rosary beads can do it, amen. Hey, saying your Hail Marys can do it, amen. And eating the Eucharist can do it, amen. And joining a Baptist church can do it. And giving the missions out of the Baptist church can do it. That's not going to do it. That's traditions. You're not redeemed that way. Look, verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The only thing is the precious blood of Jesus that can redeem your soul. Purchase you from the slave block. You are lost and in your sins apart from the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. It's the only thing. You ought to know that. The world needs to know that. Amen. It's knowledge that will change your life. Save your soul from hell. Amen. I know this. Look in 2 Peter chapter number 3. Number 11. I know that the present earth will be here 1,000 years after the second coming of Jesus Christ, and then will be burned up and changed. I know that. Do you know what? I'm going to sleep tonight. Might even take me a nap at the Sunday morning service. Without any care in this world burning up and blowing up. But they're going to have a nuclear world and it's going to blow up the whole earth. No, they ain't. It's at least 1,007 years away. There's a great tribulation and there's 1,000-year millennial reign. Then God's going to melt this earth away and make a new heaven and a new earth. But it ain't happening until then. Yeah, you know how many people couldn't go to sleep last night thinking about whether the world's going to burn away? Somebody's going to attack another nation and throw nuclear bombs and blow up the whole world. Or it's going to tilt on its axis another degree and melt away. Because of what science has taught them, and they can't sleep at night. He ain't going nowhere. We might get blown up and die. But the world ain't going nowhere. It's at least got 1,007 years from right now. Minimum. Look, I know that. Say, how you know that? Because the Bible tells me so. Isn't it amazing how much the Bible will teach you? What's that little song you kids sing? About this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You know that, right? Because of the Bible. 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 7. The Bible says this. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. It ain't going nowhere. It is reserved and it is kept until God melts it away. Amen. It ain't going anywhere. I'm not worried about it. Amen. So if the Lord's going to leave it here and he's going to allow me to live on it, I need to do something till he comes. I know this. You ought to know this. You know what else I know? I know the truth. Amen. Look in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 21. I know the truth. Pilate said, what is truth? And walked away. He's looking dead at truth.
Amen.
A lot of people want to walk away from it, but hey, I know the truth.
Amen.
So that's kind of prideful, ain't it? No, it's just written. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 21. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. I know Jesus Christ is truth. He said, I am the way, the what? And the light. No man cometh the Father but by me. I know that.
Amen.
You ought to know that. Amen. Jesus Christ is true. I know, number 13, that Jesus Christ is righteous. There was no unrighteousness in him. He was the sinless Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Amen. He is righteous. You know what? He is not just a good guy. He is not just another good historical figure. Amen. He is not another prophet. Amen. He is the prophet. He is the righteousness. Amen. In him is no sin. Amen. He is righteous. That's Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 29. He says, if ye know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Do you know Jesus Christ is righteous? You know what that makes him? Jesus Christ is sinless. There was no sin in him. He that knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We are made righteous because he is righteous. Jesus Christ was not a sinner. He was not born of fornication. It's what they said about him in his day. He's a bastard's child. He's born of fornication. Joseph is his father. Not this guy. He was born from the virgin womb of Mary. God manifest in the flesh. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. There is no unrighteousness in him. Not any spot or blemish. The spotless Lamb of God. There is no unrighteousness in him. You ought to know that. Amen. Look in 1 John chapter 3. I know that when he returns, I'm going to be just like him. And be just like him. 1 John chapter 3, look in verse number 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. The world don't know, because they don't know him. They don't really know us. Amen. Beloved, verse 2, now are we the sons of God. You say, well, you know what people say? Well, when you get to heaven, we'll know. These things have I written in you. Chapter 5, verse 13, this book here, 1 John. These things have I written in you to believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. It's forever. Behold, now are we the sons of God. So when I get there, we'll know. When I get there, I'll be saved. No, I'm already saved. Yeah. People say, well, I hope I make it. What you hoping on?
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to do wrong and lose it. You can't lose it.
Right.
Yeah. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we what? No. You see that verse 2? That when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Boy, ain't that going to be a day. We're going to be just like him. We're predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. Romans chapter number 8. We're going to be just like Jesus. What a day that'll be. When my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face. The one who saved me by his grace.
Amen.
The only thing you can do is bow before him and say, thank you, Lord. I know that I'm going to be like him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the knowledge of the things in the Word of God. May we allow these truths and this knowledge to affect the way we live towards you. Thank you for showing them to us. Thank you, Lord, for the book. God, continue to teach us and mold us to be more like you. Help us, God, to show you to this old world. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your people that's assembled here this morning. Bless our worship hour also and the singing of the songs of Zion. Bring glory and honor to yourself. Thank you for the blood that was shed on Calvary to save our souls and change our lives. We love you and thank you for loving us. In Christ's name, amen.